You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Days Soulmate with Lisette.
And Jim.
Sometimes we are so surprised at the show, and I think this is one of those shows that is surprising. We went after something new, something called Triune Love, which is looking at how to get deep love at all levels, and that has to do with all brain levels. Last week and the week prior, we talked about the triune brain, The triune brain being the reptilian brain, the limbic brain, and the neocortex, the base of our brain, the brain stem, where the instincts and survival come from, the limbic brain being the middle portion, the yellow portion of the brain, where emotions and feelings are. It's also called the paleomammalian brain, and the neocortex, the rational thought and higher cognition, as shown in this diagram as the red part of the brain. What's very interesting about this is seeing that there were three types of brain, I took attachment theory, and we started looking at, is the three pieces of attachment theory any way equatable, comparable to the triune brain?
Yeah.
Guess what? That's today's show, and it's an exciting one for us. I hope you find it that way, too. So to start off with, we wanted to talk about some of the top three misunderstandings. It's actually, there's nine of them, but these are the top three of the nine. The top three misunderstandings in relationships. Poor listening and speaking skills. No, I just made that one up. Poor listening skills. Failing to actively listen leads to communication gaps and unresolved issues. I'm going to back away that each of these misunderstandings is associated with a part, a role of that triune brain.
What do you say?
Some of it affects us at the reptilian level, the instinctual level, the survival level. Some impacts us on the emotional level. And others impacts us on the thinking and rational level. And so each of these misunderstandings impacts one of those. We'll go more in depth as we go here. Number two, disrespecting your partner's feelings. Invalidating emotions creates distrust and emotional disconnect. So we're dealing with the emotions, maybe the limbic system. Seeing partner as a competitor, viewing each other as rivals, erodes partnership and cooperation. So if we were competitors, we would at the core in our reptilian brain maybe think that each of us is attacking the other.
Yeah, but I know so the second one is really interesting because invalidation of emotion, sometimes it's difficult to understand the emotion of your partner.
Mm.
And maybe each other feel it's no value, you don't pay me attention. So I guess the three component is can be mixed, you know.
And what's interesting about this whole thing, everything's interesting, but the triune brain is from the 1960s. Modern psychology, some of the psychologists out there really think it's a misguided definition. It's an old definition. It doesn't work. But at the same time, there are studies that are done today that are in support of it. And it helps us understand things. So psychology in its infancy is a way, or in its role, its mission, psychology, is to help us understand things. And sometimes you categorize things to make them understandable. Just like with Freud, the id, the ego, the superego. Mm. We had one of our shows where we talked about the triune brain and how it related to the id being survival instincts. Oh, that's the reptilian brain. The superego, being how we're emotionally connected to society and we want to do what's right by society, and we have a set of values and beliefs from our culture, from our family, and that is right there in that paleomammalian brain, right? Emotions, the limbic system.
Yeah.
And then lastly, the ego, the conscious ability or the consciousness that we have about trying to weigh our drives, our motivations, the superego's pushes and making decisions, that is like the neocortex or the human brain, you know, that red part of the brain we talked about. So we talked about poor listening skills. We talked about disrespecting partner's feelings and seeing your partner as a competitor as being things that impact each of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feed one, you feed the other. So if something affects your neocortex or affects your ego, it will change how you feel, change your chemistry, affect you emotionally, which then hits your limbic system. And if it hits you and hurts you enough, it can also change your reptilian brain or your, what's that called? Your id.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all these things that are interrelated. But today, again, we're looking at the attachment theory, lust, attraction, and attachment, and how it fits exactly with the triune brain. Let's continue on with the next three of the top nine, the mid-level misunderstandings. Comparing your mate to others. Unfair comparisons cause insecurity and emotional disconnection. One is somebody fears for the relationship. Fear is a component of that reptilian brain. But also the emotional disconnection is part of the limbic brain. Compatibility issues. When you have misaligned values and perspectives, you can have frequent conflicts. Conflicts being emotional, but if they're really strong conflicts, they can also be more of a survival thing.
Yeah.
Right? Where you think, and maybe it's the death of the relationship. And you're fighting for that, and that has aspects that are innate to us. And then lastly, assumptions. Acting on assumptions without clarity leads to unnecessary conflicts. Well, assumptions are made from not listening, right?
Yeah.
So these are all integrated with each other. And again, when we were talking about that, sometimes modern day psychologists think the triune brain is just an outdated concept, an outdated way of categorizing. At the same time, they are integrated with each other because one does not work on its own without impacting the other.
Yeah.
How about our next three? Oh, I like this one. Mm-hmm. Here are the lower last three of the top nine. Choice of friends. The disagreements over friends lead to mistrust and insecurity. And I found this one interesting. A couple of weeks ago, we did a show where we talked about if a man does not like, let's just say in a male-female relationship, if a man does not like his girlfriend or wife's friends, there's a higher likelihood that they will be divorced in the future. Because typically, people are like their friends.
Okay.
So if you don't like your partner's friends, when the, what is that called, where the romance part of the relationship wears off, and you find out your partner is like their friends that you don't like, there's that already automatic, oh, I don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
So this was interesting that this was choice of friends was one of the one of the top nine misunderstandings in a relationship. Finances. Financial disparities and misunderstandings strain the relationships. Are we going to survive? Are we going to eat? When it gets down to the level of where are we going to live? Where are we going to eat? Do we have shelter, food, clothing? That gets to those basic needs of human needs.
Yeah, yeah.
Survival again. And so this is not only a survival thing, but it's emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, always claiming to be right. I don't know about this one.
I knew it.
Dominance and inflexibility fuel resentment and communication breakdown. So if you are always having to be right, it stops the conversation.
Yeah, so that's always I say, I prefer be happy than be right.
Be happy be happy. Don't worry about be right.
Yeah.
So the other interesting thing about this is that if you claim to be right and it gives you inflexibility and communication breakdown, is that it leaves no opening to discuss. And it also says that you're not listening and you don't have good emotional intelligence. And there's all these things that are interrelated.
Yeah.
But that is the top 9 misunderstandings.
We're here at Inglenook at Francis Ford Coppola's new winery. Well, they've had it for a few years, but this is his library, books that he has read over the years that have accumulated in his knowledge and his ability to come up with amazing storylines, beautiful video edits, creativity of films unlike anyone else. Let's take a look at one of the books in his library. Here we have 90 Day Soulmate, How to Find Your Perfect Match in 90 Days by Lizette Guevara and Jim Gulmick.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
And moving into the next phase here, we wanted to understand, does brain development in a fetus match the reptilian, paleomammalian human development of the brain? Meaning, does the brain develop in that order?
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, it would make sense that it does. It goes from the simplistic, animalistic, reptilian piece to the most complex part of the brain, and that should be the way the brain develops. In fact, it seems logical, but is that true? Right? So
yeah.
Let's look at brain development in the human being. Number one, brain development stages. Here's number one. It's neurogenesis to cell migration to cell differentiation to cell. Number four is cell maturation. 5 is synaptogenesis. 6 is cell death and pruning. And then last is myelogenesis. And we're going to talk about each of those in hopefully a little simple way and how that all works with those 3 phases of the brain, the 3 phases, the 3 roles of the brain. Again, those 7 developmental stages work from starting to develop the reptilian brain to the limbic brain to the neocortex brain. And we flip around on words and definitions here, but the limbic brain is the paleomammalian. The neocortex is also known as the human. It's also known as the neomammalian brain, but that's where the rational thought and higher cognition take place. So if you think higher thought, higher cognition, there must be more complexity in it. Thus, it has to be built upon a foundation that is less complex, but gives you a strong foundation to build the more complex. So let's look at those stages. Number one stage, neurogenesis. It's the creation of new neurons. It's essential during the embryonic development, so very early on in the human development. It is mapped to the triune brain. How? The reptilian brain, early development in brainstem regions that control basic survival functions, e.g. breathing and heart rate, are developed first.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Reptilian developed first. Survival. What's number two on this here? We have cell migration, where the cells move around a bit. The neurons move to their final locations in the brain. They start organizing into specific brain areas. How does that map to the triune brain? Well, in the reptilian brain, neurons migrate to areas controlling basic instincts. In the limbic brain, neurons begin organizing into regions that will, eventually, process emotions and sensory inputs. So again, building, like building blocks here. How about the third stage? Cell differentiation. Neurons become specialized for specific functions. They respond to chemical signals that now the growing body is throwing off. How is that mapped to the triune brain? The reptilian brain gets specialized for survival functions. The limbic brain, neurons differentiate for emotional responses and memory. And then last, in the neocortex, initial differentiation for cognitive and sensory processing. A lot of things going on in that stage. So now it's the brain is churning. It's starting to develop into a pretty good functioning, mm-hmm. a functioning but pretty much blank slate at this point. How about maturation? So all those neurons that have moved around and specialized start to become mature. They establish more complex connections. How is that mapped? In the limbic brain, emotional processing areas mature. Neocortex, early development of areas for higher cognitive functions. So at this point, it's only the beginning of those higher cognitive functions. We don't talk about the reptilian brain anymore because it's pretty much there.
Mm-hmm.
And the limbic brain is starting to mature. So it's these phases that are going in order. We've got the synaptogenesis, which is formation of neural connections, the synapses which are between the neurons. It establishes the neural networks in the brain. How is that mapped through the brain? In the limbic brain, synapse formation in areas managing emotions and social behavior begin to form more and quicker. In the neocortex, rapid synapse formation in areas associated with reasoning, planning, and abstract thought. So it is that your brain is starting to specialize in these areas. And again, reptilian first, limbic second, and human third. Now we're getting to, okay, you've got all these brain cells. You've actually got so many going on there. Which ones are really needed? This stage is called stage 6, cell death and pruning. Removal of unnecessary connections. So connections that were put in place, all of a sudden they're not being used, they go away. But the ones that are important pathways are strengthened. How is that mapped to the triune brain? Refinement of emotional responses and social behaviors happen in the limbic brain. And in the neocortex, the areas that are pruned are in reference to reasoning, decision-making, and problem-solving. Not that those are pruned out, but they're trimmed to become more efficient, more effective.
Hmm.
Now that we're trimming the brain up, we're doing, what is that called? You take that little plant and bonsai? Bonsai
yeah,
tree.
Bonsai.
So our brain is a little bonsai tree. And we're pruning it to make it look good, act fast.
But by what kind of procedure you
cut? It does it automatically.
Decision.
Synaptic pruning. Now, many, many weeks ago, we did a show on human 13-year-old, 14-year-old humans, and we were talking about the same thing. Synaptic pruning goes on for a whole entire lifetime. We have neuron growth, we have neuroplasticity, but we also get synapses cut out if we don't use them.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't use them, you lose them, and they're gone forever.
Wow.
Now, you may have the beginnings of those paths because you have other things going on that may make you be able to develop them again,
mm-hmm.
and maybe quicker this time because you already had them developed.
Okay. So when you learn do the bicycle and, practice for many years, you lose?
Well, what's interesting is that was one of the things I read about is that part of that, the bicycle riding,
mm-hmm.
part of that is reptilian.
Hmm.
Did you see all those reptiles riding around on unicycles? No, that once it goes into motor coordination skills and mm-hmm. some of those things, that's down deep. So you may learn initially how to do it through your frontal cortex and
mm-hmm.
through your actual brain trying to figure it out. Your balance may come from something else. But once you start learning it and it becomes routine, your automatic pilot takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the really cool part about the brain is we can treat. We can train
Yeah.
ourselves to go on automatic pilot in so many areas. That's a good thing and that's a bad thing, right? If it's a good automatic pilot, great. But if it's a bad one and you want to change your behavior, you have to set your path to a new goal.
Yeah.
through therapy.
Yeah, to different tools.
Conversations. Mm-hmm. A new way of living. Where are we here? We're almost done. So that was the neocortex, the pruning, and the cell death. And the final stage of development of the human brain is something called myelogenesis. It's where axons are coated with myelin, which enhances signal transmission. So it's basically a coating going around the axons, and that coating helps in directing signals and helping them move throughout the brain. So how does that map in the triune brain? In the neocortex, myelination of neurons involved in higher order thinking, improving cognitive efficiency. So it's actually wrapping around the axons, mm-hmm. and it's creating higher, faster paths. And it's almost like shoring up. It's like putting an insulator over a wire. Okay. It's going, okay, it's really forming a strong connection. And that happens in the last stage. And these are all, again, stages that happen before birth. But to understand that they go in order of the reptilian, the paleomammalian or the limbic brain, and then the human brain, that they go in that order of development, and then the most complex development is last, is something that when we start talking about love and how everything we do impacts those three types of brains, that is the important part. And final conclusion of our opening here is brain development overview. Sequential development from basic survival, the reptilian brain, to emotions, the limbic brain, to complex thought, the neocortex, is how brain develops, or the brain. The triune brain integration, understanding the layered development, helps explain how basic functions are integrated with higher cognitive processes. They're all tied together. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to love, you can't let any of those areas be taken for granted. And when we come back, we're going to discuss that and how to feed the triune brain with love, from reptile to paleomammalian or limbic to the human brain. Be right back.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She traveled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve, into their self, no room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up, tired of attracting the wrong type of guy. It was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about three stages of love and attachment, lust, attraction, and attachment, and the triune brain theory, where we talked about the reptilian brain, instincts and survival, the limbic brain, emotions and feelings, and the neocortex, where rational thoughts and higher cognition occur. And we're looking at love in the triune. We're trying to make sure that we touch all parts of the brain to fully love the person.
Wow.
Right? So let's look at lust and the reptilian brain. Mm-hmm. Lust, which is the first stage of attachment theory, is driven by sex hormones, testosterone and estrogen. It's the instinctual drive for reproduction and survival. The reptilian brain functions for basic survival, reproduction, and instinctual behavior. The parallel between these two is lust is aligned with the reptilian brain's role in providing and promoting species survival through instinctual behaviors like mating. So they're right in sync with each other, lust and the reptilian brain. The attraction stage and the limbic brain in attachment theory. The attraction stage is driven by dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin. It provides an intense focus and infatuation with a potential partner. It's very emotional. The limbic brain, its functions is emotional processing, pleasure, and social bonding. The parallel between the two. Attraction involves emotional responses and reward pathways in the limbic brain. It creates a feeling of excitement and pleasure in connection with a partner. Again, perfectly aligned that the attraction stage is the limbic brain. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
So there was something behind this. It's not just somebody coming up with a theory, but there's a basis for the theory here. And lastly, attachment and the neocortex, which is stage three of attachment theory. The neocortex and attachment. Attachment is driven by oxytocin and vasopressin. It is the long-term bonding and partnership part of attachment theory. The neocortex functions as the rational thought, planning, and complex social behaviors. Where these are parallel is attachment involves higher order processing and planning, integrating long-term relationship building with the rational and emotional intelligence that's in the neocortex. Now, when you take care of the rational portion of a relationship, it then feeds the emotional part of the relationship. And when you feel good emotionally, it subdues the reptile. So it's like these things all fit together. But this is why you got to be careful of any one of them, is that if you hurt any one of them, they can impact all the others, because it is
it's integrated. Yeah.
Absolutely. So in summary, lust in the reptilian brain, testosterone and estrogen are part of what trigger and promote instinctual behaviors. Attraction in the limbic brain, dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin also move the person to emotional excitement and focus. And then finally, attachment happening in the neocortex. Oxytocin and vasopressin are promoting rational bonding and long-term planning that release those chemicals. And when you are dousing your three brains with those chemicals on an ongoing basis, it helps continue to feed the relationship from all aspects. It's the same thing, integration of love in the triune brain. So, conclusion of this section is the stages of love and attachment are deeply connected with the evolutionary role of the three brain types, ensuring that human bonding is both instinctual and sophisticated, fulfilling emotional and rational needs. Interestingly enough, that a problem in any of those three brains, and we talked about trauma and how trauma can affect the different parts of the brain, that trauma in those brains or bad development in that part of the brain or different personality traits in those parts of the brain can create an ongoing issue if not addressed, if they can be addressed. And to actually recognize that, talk about it, and maybe come up with ways of dealing with incompatibilities that really shouldn't be there if you could overcome those traumas or those injuries or the past patterns, behaviors, and upbringing.
So you need to have a really holistic view when you have some issue, because it's not be focused in one specific area.
So the other thing that this helped me with is understanding that you got to look at all of these things. You have to look at the instinctual, to the emotional, to the logical. You could say, I'm doing everything I should for the relationship. You know, I'm coming home at this time. We are having dinner together. We're talking. We're doing this. And you're doing everything logically for a relationship. But if you're not touching the emotional or the instinctual aspects of it, we're going to get into ideas on how to do that later. But if you're not doing that, you're missing all these keys that can unlock a wonderful relationship. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the triune brain and love in the triune.
We're here at Inglenook at Francis Ford Coppola's new winery. Well, they've had it for a few years, but this is his library, books that he has read over the years that have accumulated in his knowledge and his ability to come up with amazing storylines, beautiful video edits, creativity of films unlike anyone else. Let's take a look at one of the books in his library. Here we have 90 Day Soulmate, How to Find Your Perfect Match in 90 Days by Lizette Guevara and James Gulmick, actually Jim Gulmick.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about love in the triune, how to use the triune brain to your advantage. And I don't think it's advantage, but maybe to the relationship's advantage when you are dealing with other people or your soulmate.
Yeah.
Let's look at each of those in a little bit more depth. The reptilian brain, the limbic brain, and the neocortex. Let's look at each of those, and let's look at specific behaviors that are in each, examples that might help us understand this better. Number one, let's look at the reptilian brain, which is the instinctual behavior in romantic love. Example behavior, territoriality, and jealousy. The reptilian brain triggers instinctual behaviors like protecting your territory and being jealous when you're in a romantic relationship. So it can be instinctual for survival, rooted in the primitive need to secure a mate and protect one's territory from rivals, which kind of makes sense. So now think about that in a relationship, and if you're actually exhibiting those behaviors, or if you're ignoring them because you think they're too animalistic.
Yeah, or maybe it's depend of the program. People is insecure or feels so insecure with the relationship. Maybe it's jealous. No?
Do you want to feel like I'm protecting the relationship?
No.
Come on, everyone. You know, people want to feel that their partner is protecting the relationship. I believe that's, and it's instinctual. So maybe logically, you're like, no, I don't. But down deep, maybe you do. Mm-hmm. And that's where you got to access that reptilian brain and go, what does the reptile want?
What kind of protection example do you think? In the relationship?
Maybe it's fight for time, defend you, protect you. You know, it's protecting. You talk about like driving and maybe making you scared when I drive. I go, okay, you know what? I got to protect Lizette. And that will make her reptile feel better. Because I don't want reptile dysfunction.
This is other show.
Different show. We did that show. So let's go on to number two here. The associated brain function of reptile happens in the basal ganglia. It controls basic survival instincts. It promotes aggressive and dominant behaviors to ensure survival and reproductive success. You can't ignore it because it is part of you. All right, so let's look at some of the chemicals and other things that are involved. So the chemicals and hormones that are involved in the reptilian brain, testosterone increases aggression and territorial behaviors. And then there's vasopressin, which is linked to social bonding and aggressive protection of a partner. The effect, it can enhance the brain's focus on defending territory and securing a mate, leading to competitive and protective actions, which can both be good, but they can be bad. And we talked about that as before you have a mate, that now you're competitive to get that mate, and you may be, your reptile may push you to do something that long-term, logically, long-term, emotionally, is not the right move for you.
Okay.
Just because of competition. How about the paleomammalian brain, which is the limbic brain? Let's look at the emotional bonding in romantic love, which is the second part. So we'll talk about attachment. Actually, it's the attraction, not attachment. We're going to talk about attraction, that nurturing and attachment in the limbic brain. The paleomammalian brain fosters emotional bonding through nurturing behavior and attachment. Activated in romantic love when we care for and emotionally connect with a partner. So this is more of the emotional connection piece. Associated brain functions in this, in the limbic system, in the paleomammalian brain, manages emotions and social behaviors, central to forming deep emotional connections, nurturing behaviors, and long-term social bonds. So we've moved from the instinctual to the emotional. And one last one here, the chemicals that are in the limbic system that affect it in the attraction stage of a relationship. Oxytocin promotes feelings of attachment, trust, and bonding. And dopamine release reinforces pleasurable feelings and reward in connection with a loved one. These things have a profound effect. It will strengthen emotional bonds, enhances feelings of closeness and attachment, and reinforces the desire to nurture and protect the relationship. So this is what's going on in that second stage of attachment, which is the attraction, mm-hmm. where there's the emotions, where these chemicals of that really saturate the limbic system are involved.
So do you see that the brain is different when you are young and this kind of theory versus when you are old?
Maybe. I think, and let's talk about it, maybe the chemicals are more easily produced, that we lower the chemicals that are in our body as we get older. So as men age, I believe their level of testosterone drops a little bit, right? So with women, the estrogen, yes.
I'm looking for, like you said, the procreation, because you know, to try to have a baby, you are more for companions, so...
But that you're thinking about that logically. Yeah. If you talk about that chemically, there's less testosterone. Yeah. In a 60-year-old man than there is in an 18-year-old boy or man, right?
Yeah.
So the push for the reptile to mate is much different when you're 60.
Yeah.
Now, there are other things that are going on, and maybe you have all this relationship experience that make you want to have the excitement of mating, but it may not be instinctual. It may be emotional. It may be in your limbic system. You may want that dopamine release. And that's where we find that people who are, say, addicted to the newness of a relationship, and they just want to have that newness experience over and over, it's in that limbic system, in the emotion, in the release of the dopamine, in that excitement of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have that in an ongoing relationship.
Interesting.
Yes. So where are we here? We're in the neomammalian. We talked about that romantic. It enables higher order. So neomammalian, which is the neocortex, which is the human brain, allows higher order thinking, helps individuals to plan for the future in their romantic relationships. It is the real attachment phase of the relationship. It includes decisions about long-term commitment, discussing future goals, and solving problems with the relationship. Associated brain functions in this region, in the neocortex, is responsible for reasoning, problem solving, and abstract thought, allows for conscious decision making, strategic planning, flexible behavior in relationships. It is actually like the ego now. It has to navigate through wants and desires, social pressures, parts of the relationship. The human brain, the neocortex, not the limbic, not the reptilian, has to try to come to some kind of agreement. Make, you know, I'll give you here if you give me there. Let's come up with long-term plans that work for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the chemicals in long-term attachment in the neomammalian brain, which is the neocortex, which is the human brain, is serotonin, which regulates mood, contributes to stable, rational decision-making in relationships. And we talked about diet being important for serotonin production. We talked about sleep. We talked about gut health being very important in feeling good, which would in turn help you feel good about the relationship. And then endorphins promotes a sense of well-being and reduces stress, facilitating calm and thoughtful planning. The effect of this, it helps support thoughtful, rational planning and problem solving, which will lead to stable and long-term relationship development. Wow. Mm-hmm. So you need to have the innate drive for the relationship and feed that reptilian brain with reasons for the relationship. Mm-hmm. In the emotional part, the limbic system, same thing. And in long-term planning, that if you look at all these things, you'll start dumping the right chemicals into your relationship mm-hmm. that help you get closer on the long term. You want to hear those 10 top ways of making that connection?
Part of the show.
10 tips. How would you like to have 10 tips for triune love? Try these on for triune love. Number one, express physical affection regularly. It feeds the reptilian brain, reinforcing basic survival and bonding instincts. Two, share meaningful experiences together. Engages the limbic brain, deepening emotional connections and shared memories while dumping chemicals into your body that make you feel good. Discuss long-term goals together, which is number three. Stimulates the neocortex, fostering rational planning and future-oriented relationship building, which also helps in attachment. Maintain eye contact during a conversation. Very important. It activates the limbic brain, enhancing emotional intimacy and trust. Remember, the heart is seen through the eyes. Prioritize consistent routine rituals, which strengthens the reptilian brain. It provides stability and habitual bonding in the relationship. Important for survival. Knowing that Sunday we're going to do our show, knowing we're going to get together with our family at night and have dinner, knowing that we're going to go on 3 vacations this year, that those things do feed all the other parts of your brain, but it also helps to feed the reptilian part.
Yeah.
And you got to look at that. So let's look at the last 5 tips. Number 6, communicate openly about emotions. It engages the limbic brain, encourages emotional understanding and empathy, and it also opens up trust and communication. 7, practice mindfulness together. It stimulates the neocortex, promoting thoughtful reflection and reducing stress in the relationship. Number 8, surprise each other with thoughtful gestures. It activates the limbic brain, reinforces feelings of affection and joy. Number 9, engage in playful activities, which will feed the reptilian brain, boosting instinctual bonding and light-hearted connection. And finally, 10, solve problems as a team. It will stimulate the neocortex, enhancing collaboration, reasoning, and mutual respect in decision-making. You can see how all these are interconnected also.
Yeah.
That even though it says this is the one focus of that, it of course will, what is it called, overflow into the other areas.
Mm-hmm.
That it is, as modern psychologists say, the triune brain is a concept. It is highly integrated, and we do anything that affects one will affect the other. But if we avoid feeding our love into those distinct areas of the brain, we're missing an opportunity for growth, love, romance, and closeness in our
relationship.
Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Try on triune love and feed your reptile, limbic system, and human brain. And your partners, have a great week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.